from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, which will become the home of the expansion NHL franchise that will be named sometime next month. They will begin play next October. We've got NBA, though, tonight. It's the Kings and the Lakers, 4 o'clock with the pregame, 4:30 with all the action. Coming up, obviously, later this evening, we've got the deciding game in Washington, the Nets and the Dodgers. We've got some Thursday night football, so we've got a lot of things going on. And we welcome your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'm curious, Doug, tonight, with this being now down to the final couple of preseason games, if we'll start seeing Dave Yeager play the younger players less, because I don't believe that any of the younger players are going to be part of the rotation in the early part of the season. And with that said, you know, I'm wondering if maybe they'll just play with like 5 minutes or so left to go in the fourth quarter. I'm very curious to see how he's going to coach these final three games.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, Grant, because there's two different ways that you can go about that. Like us, when we had a really good team, by this time he'd be winding us down and allowing the younger players to play more so that we would be ready going into the season and right at the end get us in there and kind of tune everything up. But looking at the team as it is now, you really want to get a good feel for actually the guys that you are going to be playing. So I would have to tend more to what you said, is sitting more of these younger guys down, letting guys play, seeing different combinations, what's going to work, and then, you know, probably start thinking ahead to, you know, the first week of the season and the things that you're going to see, because you got to plan for the 8 games that Darren's going to miss and then going forward. So I agree with you. Probably younger players play a little bit less.
All right, why don't we get some calls in as we get to Marty. Marty, you're on with Grant and Doug. Go right ahead, Marty.
Hey, Grant. Good afternoon. This is Marty from Middletown. I've talked to you before, and I just wanted to call and say thank you for all your time, energy, and everything you've done to have a new arena built in Sacramento. I was able to go to the first night of the Paul McCartney concert, and I was very, very impressed. And I know it took a lot of hard work with you and the community to get it going. And matter of fact, I just bought 15 tickets on 15 different games for Sacramento for this year. So I'm really excited. I think they have a good new foundation, and I'm very inspired to think they're going to do much, much better this year.
Well, thanks for the comments, Marty. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy you're able to get tickets and be able to share in the excitement of this inaugural year at the Golden One Center. I know Doug and I were just blown away when we were doing our show in there on Monday, and that was just a preseason game. The excitement level for that game was through the roof. So, again, 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from tonight, the Kings will open up that building for real. It's the first ever regular season game, October 27th. The Kings and the Spurs will be here before you know it. Marty, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Hey, folks, you can watch the Silver and Black this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Buffalo Wild Wings, 1168 Galleria Boulevard in Roseville. And at halftime, the street team will be giving away tickets to Monsters Energy Aftershock. If you need more information, go to khtk.com. Now, I want to get back to what you were saying before we took that call with Marty. And you characterized this team, and I think perfectly so, that this is not the type of team that you played with here in Sacramento. Okay, there you have it. First of all, you have a new coach with this team, a new coaching staff with this team. You have new players on this team that weren't here last year, and they're all learning how to play with one another. And I'm going to ask you this because there are so many new players. All right, there are the Ty Lawson, Aaron Aflalo. You know, Matt Barnes is a veteran, but he hasn't played with these guys. Mm-hmm. You have Anthony Tolliver, okay? And I'm not even talking about the young players yet. I'm just talking about some of the new veterans that have come in. So, talk to the fans about this. You always used to talk about when you were playing with the Kings and things were you didn't have to wonder where someone was going to be on the floor, and you didn't have to wonder about who needed to get the ball when. It was just common knowledge because of the familiarity that you had with them and that they had with you. What, realistically, how long do you think that process is going to take with this team, with all the new players I just mentioned, and with Dave Yeager, who's here for the first time?
You know, it's going to take quite some time, to be honest with you. And I think that we kind of got that feeling, you and I, Grant, when we talked to Coach Yeager and he called in and we had that conversation, that he's trying to let people know that you got to be patient. I know people say that all the time, but it's a learning process, because not only are you putting in new defense, it's a new regime. It's a different style of play. We're focusing on defense. I said that, everyone listening. We're focused on defense.
Yes.
So when you're doing those sort of things, now you got to start learning each other in practice. And that means that you're going to have to go through drills, and they're going to have to run through them, jog through them, walk through them. And the corner set that they're running is similar to what we ran, and there's so many different options. And, Grant, all the options are based off of every time you put a player in a different position. If Paige is in the corner, I do something totally different than Bobby's in the corner. If Chris is in the post, I might do something different than when Vlade's in the post. And now those guys are going to have to learn. And the only way that you learn that, Grant, is you got to take the time and practice. And the coach has to teach. And when I walked in and I watched some of their practice, that's exactly what he was doing. He had the floor. Everybody was listening. He was going through different takes and different cuts and different things. And so was Elston Turner. And it was beautiful to watch. So it will take some time, but I think we'll see. It's going to be a little slower than maybe people anticipate.
And here's the other deal. On Tuesday, the Kings play their final preseason game, and then they don't have a game until the following Wednesday. Now, I always hear during the All-Star break, which has been prolonged now, you know, that during the All-Star break, teams will get rusty. Now, they aren't practicing the whole time, but they are practicing when they get back after the weekend on Monday night, and now they don't play until Thursday or Friday. And yet you see teams across the league that are very, very rusty when they start the second half. Would you expect on Tuesday that there would be a real good possibility that Dave Joerger may coach that game like a regular season game as a final dress rehearsal, particularly knowing that the eight guys that are going to be playing the most minutes need to get their minutes in because the following game that counts for real is 8 days away? What do you think about that?
Well, it's 4:10, time to go solar with Sierra Pacific. Call now for $500 off, 800-551-3040. Grant, to your point, I think that that would be extremely wise, my friend, because you want to come out of the gate swinging. This is something that we've seen many years now with the Kings. We've had optimism and different things, and before you know it, it's 2-5, 1-6, 3-4.
Yep.
You want to come out of the gate. And now that doesn't mean that the wins might not be there, but if you're seeing the camaraderie, if you're seeing the flow, if you're seeing the learning, that means that things will start building. So, yeah, to your point, I think that he probably starts going a little tighter with everything. And it's going to be more of what we see when the regular season starts.
And no Darren Collison for the first eight. And six of the first eight are on the road, Doug. They open up at Phoenix, and then they're home against San Antonio in Minnesota. And then they hit the Southeast and throughout that part of the country for five games, starting on Halloween night at Atlanta. So, you know, again, it's an 82-game season. It's only October. But no one wants to get off to a bad start. I don't care who you are. And without your starting point guard, yes, Ty Lawson looks good. But now who plays for him? Is it going to be Garrett Temple? And that's another thing. I want to see how Dave Joerger is going to use his rotation in these final few games. Ty Lawson's going to be starting. Is he going to use Darren Collison less because he knows he's not going to have him for eight games? Or is he going to use Darren Collison like he would in a regular season game off the get-go because he wants to see how he fits in with everyone else so that when he comes back from eight games, he knows exactly who he should be playing with? Those are the things I think we're going to find out, you know, in these final three games. Which, listen, it's great that they picked up Ty Lawson, Doug. I know you were complimentary of him after watching him play on Monday. Mm-hmm. I thought he played very well when I saw him last week in San Jose against the Warriors, but there's still that little unknown. You know, I got to see him do it when it counts for real against a very good backcourt of the Phoenix Suns a week from Wednesday.
Yeah, when it is real, it's different. You know, it's funny that you say that, Grant, because there's the preseason, and it's not the guys aren't playing hard, it's just the preseason. Then you start the regular season, it's not the guys aren't playing hard, it's the regular season. When the playoffs start, it is the damnedest thing, man. They're flying around, passing lanes are closing. And it's just not that they're not playing hard. It's just there is so much on the line, and it's ratcheted up to a level that you can't even understand. So you're right. When he gets in front of an NBA player that's looking across from him and says, you know, I don't like you and I really want your ball, we'll see what happens then.
All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to text the show, you can at 44-1140. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so. I'm at Grant Napier Show. Doug, what's your Twitter handle?
The Doug Christie.
There you go. Very easy. No problem. We got it down. As I said, I'm courtside here at the new T-Mobile Arena, which is nice, but it's not the Golden 1 Center. It's
I like
nice.
That.
It's nice.
That's what you tell your buddy. Hey, man, you know, you really got a nice car, man, but it's not mine.
Pretty much. You know what? Pretty much. But this, what? Here's the big difference, too. Well, there are a lot of big differences in this building. I mean, there are many. Aesthetically, it's just not as pleasing, and it's not as functional. They don't have as many suites, and they don't have as many premium areas. But it was built for hockey, and so the shape of the arena is built for hockey, meaning that they, you know, whereas the Golden One Center, the sight lines are built for basketball, these sight lines are built for hockey. And so I think it's going to be a very nice hockey building. I think that they'll do very well with the environment in here for hockey. I mean, listen, I don't want to paint it as not a nice arena. It is a nice arena. I'm not going to come on the air and say anything other. It is a nice arena. I mean, I'm looking at everything and I'm like, yeah, this is nice. It's nice, but .. It's, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
People don't really realize that, Grant, but, and I didn't until I went to, like, the Maple Leaf Gardens. That was totally hockey. I went to what was the Islanders' place over there that the Islanders played at? I played a preseason game there with the Knicks, and it's different than when you come into an arena that's built for the NBA.
Yep.
Things are just it's different. You're right.
Well, I got to tell you, Doug, you'll find out that on this show, we get calls from all over the world, not only from Northern California. We get Danny that checks in from England from time to time. We get our good buddy Ed from Chile. We get Perez from the Bahamas and others around the world. Well, guess what? We have got Jamie on from down under in Australia. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, good, Grant. How are you?
I'm doing well. Everything good down in Australia?
So I just can't quite hear you. Hang on, I'll just move.
Okay, no problem. How's everything down under? How's everything in Australia?
Oh, things are great here, actually. Yeah, fantastic. Summer's about to start, so the weather's warming up and the days are getting longer, so things are well down here.
Doug, can you believe we got Jamie on from Melbourne, Australia? It's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is absolutely. It's amazing that you're in Australia. First of all, stay away from those Joeys.
who's that talking? Is that Doug Christie?
That would be me. Jamie, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, Doug. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Thank you.
Excellent. Good to hear. I'm just touching base with you, Grant, just about the upcoming season. And I haven't been listening to your show much lately. I've been pretty busy with family. I've had another kid this year, so I've got 3 under 3 now. So it's pretty crazy here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all tied up pretty much. Your life is we've been there, done that. So I understand. But I'll tell you, Jamie, you know, Danny is coming in for opening night. Danny is coming in from England. We had Ed from Chile visit us last year. So, you know, I know it's not in the cards right now with your young family, but we got to get you to Sacramento to the beautiful Golden One Center here in the not too distant future.
Oh, absolutely. I'll get there in the next few years. Unfortunately, I won't get there this year just because of the...
Sure.
I think I need to be home right now. But, I'm going to get there the next few years. I've seen all the pictures and the videos. It looks absolutely amazing, that stadium. So, bit of a shame I won't get there for opening night. But, we'll get there soon.
Tell Doug, because I know this, because I follow you on Twitter, and I'm always going back and forth with you on Twitter. Tell Doug how many games you try to watch from Melbourne, Australia, when the Kings are playing. How many games do you think you watch?
Oh, look, I probably watch. I watch probably at least half of them.
Wow, man.
Yeah, that's,
true fan, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I try not to miss any, but it's sort of. With 3 or 4 games a week, it's hard to keep up with it sometimes. But it's on during work hours here. Unfortunately, I think for Danny, the games might be on at night time or early morning or something. But over here, it's sort of in the middle of the day. So on the weekends, I definitely watch the games and try and watch the replays of the other games when I can. But looking forward to the season. I just want to get your take on the team this year. It's a completely different team than last year, and I just want to get you. I haven't been listening to your show much, that's all. So you've probably spoken about it already, but. Yeah,
well, Jamie, Doug and I were just talking about it. I think the one thing that you're going to notice when you watch, this team is playing defense every game, and they're practicing defense every day for the majority of their practice. And, Jamie, you know, in watching the Kings play the last couple of years, they didn't play any defense. So I think the big change that you're going to see, and, Doug, you were talking about this earlier, is the intensity on defense, and that's been very apparent.
Yeah,
Yes, Jamie, from right from the jump, the first preseason game that I saw, the one thing that I told Grant that I absolutely loved that I was watching the guards or wing players, they were picking up in the backcourt. And that is, in my opinion, it's a necessity because what you do is you put pressure, you don't let the point guard look down the floor and set up play and get eye contact. He has to deal with the defender. It takes time off the clock. You put them into a shorter clock situation. So first things first, I love that defensive intensity. Then there was communication out there on the court on the defensive end. We're not even talking about the offense because we know we got Cuz and guys that can score the basketball. That's the end of the floor that's been impressive so far, Jamie.
That all stems from the coach, I would suggest.
Yes, I definitely think so. I got to go to a couple of training camp practices and watch Coach Yeager in person. Also, Elston Turner, who was with us in the glory years here in SAC, who helped us with the defense. He's also on board. So just the instruction, the attention to detail, there was a lot of teaching going on, Jamie. And I don't know, I hadn't been in any practice since I left, but from my understanding, there hasn't been a lot of teaching. And that is really good because you can't take for granted because a player is a 10-year player or an 8-year player or a veteran, whatever. You got to teach so everyone is on the same page.
Jamie, what time is it there in Melbourne?
The time here is we're on a Friday morning, quarter past 10.
What time?
Quarter past 10.
All right, so 10. All right, there you go, Friday morning. So you got the weekend down there in Melbourne. Well, I got to tell you something. It's great that you took the time to call the show. And I hope that we can talk to you again in the not-too-distant future. I hope you're able to watch the home opener 2 weeks from tonight, which will be obviously Friday. It will be in the middle of Friday because we're playing our home opener on Thursday night, which will be the middle of the day for you on Friday. I hope you're able to see it. You take care, and it was great hearing from you.
Excellent. Well, I've actually organized to have the day off from work on the home opener, so I'll be definitely tuning in.
Awesome.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm not kidding you, Doug. Danny, and you know, again, you met Eduardo last year. He came in from Chile, and he had a phenomenal time. And we got so many fans from around the world. And that's what's so great about the era that we live in, the technological aspect of the world we live in. People all over the world are watching the NBA. And that's what, when David Stern said, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whenever it was, you know, that, hey, you know what, we're going to make this game global. People kind of looked at him like, yeah, right. And when Vlade Divac and Drazen Petrovic came over from Europe to play in the NBA, they were looked upon as, well, they can't play in this league, all right? And now look at all the foreign-born players that are playing in our league. Look at all the Europeans. Look at all the Aussies. Look at the players like Manu Ginobili. Look at where the world is, the league is now globally. It's everywhere, okay? And, you know, we've got fans. Danny literally stays up to 5 in the morning watching the Kings play in England. You got Jamie, you know, who's watching the game in the middle of the day. We've got, it's so awesome. You know, Ed in Chile does not miss a game. We are so blessed that people around the world are able to see our product. It's great. I love it.
Yes, you're talking about absolutely true fans, and we have them in Sacramento and Aces, and to have them around the world is just an absolutely, absolutely special thing.
Well, I don't know if I've ever shared the story with you about Danny, and I'll try to do it in a 60-second narrative, Danny got permission for his 40th birthday to go watch the Kings play in Toronto, and he emailed me. And the night before the game, we went out, and I met him, and we grabbed a bite to eat and a couple of pops. And I surprised him the next day at the AC Center for Toronto-Sacramento, and I got him a press pass. And so he couldn't believe it, and I showed him around. He was just, like, in awe. And I introduced him to the Kings coach, Keith Smart. And I said, hey, Keith, I want you to meet Danny. Danny flew in all the way from England just to go to the game. And he goes, wow, are you serious? He goes, yeah, just came in for the game. He said, well, here's the deal. If we win, I want you to talk to our team after the game because I don't think they realize how many people root for them around the world. And so I kid you not, the Kings beat Toronto, and I see Danny sitting on the baseline, and I send him a text because I had to do a 20-minute postgame. I go back towards the locker room area. So I get off the air, and I go back, and I go, did Keith see you? And he goes, yeah. As soon as he got done with his postgame press conference, he saw me, and he brought me into the locker room. I talked to the whole team. Wow. I got got my picture taken with everybody. And I'm thinking that now, Doug, think about this. This is a guy that just thinks he's coming to see his favorite team play, okay? Not only does he see his favorite team play, he's actually in the locker room after the game talking to the team.
Hey, that is a lifer. And I'm going to tell you, not only is Danny probably a lifer, but his family, everyone,
yes.
Because you enriched them and touched them in a way. And that, man, it gives me chills because I know that you touch people like that, but to hear a story, that is absolutely awesome.
Isn't that great? Good stuff right there. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 800-920-1140. Again, let's get to Sam. Sam, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to talk about defense, and Doug alluded to it earlier before the guy came on from Australia. He was talking about how the guards were picking up in the half court or full court.
Yes, full court.
I believe it was. And I think that also would lead to turnovers because the guards on other teams would try to look to pass it up. And that could lead to turnovers. And I think the biggest thing the Kings need is their defense could even lead to their offense.
Well,
so that's probably why Dave Yeager is focusing more on defense because he's like, well, if we play defense, we have a good defensive possession, that'll lead to our offense, either through turnovers, through long rebound, outlet passes, things of that nature.
Yes, Sam, you hit it on the head. A lot of times that's what you want. You want your defense to lead your offense because you want to get layups. You want easy buckets. You don't always want to come down and set up and have five guys on the defensive end looking right at you. So defensively, you're correct. If you pick up in the backcourt, there are a lot of times where guys don't like pressure. They might make a bad pass. They might fumble the ball. And if you're right there, you're going to pick it up and there's a turnover. So it's just a really good vibe and flow that I see in the team right now picking up the way they are.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen that the past few years. A lot of the times, like, we'd have to get into our offensive possessions and it'd take some time, and we haven't had a lot of defense turn into offense because the Kings don't play much defense to turn into offense.
Well, hopefully they will this year. Thank you very much for the call. It is 4:25, time for the 2016 year-end clearance jacuzzi of Sacramento.com. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk 49ers football. Each and every week, we get a chance to discuss things with Matt Barrows, our 49ers insider from the Sacramento Bee. Of course, San Francisco on their way to Buffalo for the contest on Sunday. They'll leave tomorrow, and Colin Kaepernick will be back as the starting quarterback. We'll talk with Matt Barrows when we come back. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK. Each and every week, we talk with Matt Barrows. You can read everything in the Sacramento Bee on sacbee.com as well, our 49ers insider, and we bring him in now. Matt, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good. Listen, for the folks that don't get involved in contracts and et cetera, Colin Kaepernick now official that he has restructured his contract. In layman's terms to the fans listening, what does it mean?
Well, it means that the big injury guarantee that was looming over this team that the 49ers front office really wanted to remove is now gone. So, you know, if Kaepernick suffers a serious injury in the coming weeks, they would not be bound to him for 2017. And then on Cap's side of things, it allows him to extricate himself from the contract before the start of free agency. So he gets to become a free agent next year if he so desires, and he also gets some more guaranteed money. I think that there's an injury insurance policy written into the contract. So he's covering himself as well, but giving himself the freedom to leave the 49ers, basically. And as we all know, it's been a long A lot of water has flowed under that bridge, shall we say, in terms of Kaepernick and his relationship with the 49ers.
Well, Matt, I'm looking at Cap, and I'm seeing him on the sideline for the whole season, and he's there with a clipboard and, you know, a computer and all different things. But they're constantly saying that he's not ready to play, but he's your second quarterback. So if Blaine got hurt, would they have put him in?
They had to. There's nobody else to go in. If it's not Cap at that point, then it's Blake Bell, the backup tight end who used to play quarterback at Oklahoma. So, you're right to be a little bit perplexed by that dichotomy. He's not healthy enough to be the starting quarterback, but he is healthy enough to be the quarterback if if Blaine Gabbert got hurt or had to come out of the game. I think the best way to sort of reconcile that is to think of it that, you know, to this point, Colin Kaepernick hasn't been good enough or healthy enough or, you know, strong enough to overtake Gabbert for the starting job. But Gabbert was just so ineffective as the starter that that becomes immaterial now, and they're casting their hopes with a Kaepernick who is not quite back to the level that they'd like him to be.
We're talking with Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee, our 49ers insider. You and I have been discussing this each and every week. I think the 49er problems go way beyond the quarterback, and I would be – I don't want to say I'd be shocked, okay? Nothing shocks me anymore in the NFL, but I'd be very surprised if this makes a difference with the 49ers. What is your take? How do you think Colin Kaepernick will play?
I think that there will be an initial spark. That seems to be the history of things with Colin Kaepernick. He's actually been very good, coming in, and especially when his doubters are at full throat. Whether it is that first start that he made against Chicago on Monday night back in 2012, or that game in Green Bay in the playoffs where he came out in short sleeves and in minus 10 degree weather. He likes it when people don't give him a chance, and you can bet that there's going to be a lot of boos in Buffalo when he takes the field, just like there were in San Diego in that preseason finale. I thought that San Diego game, he was definitely not 100%, and the way he ran the offense, wasn't perfect, but you could sense that electricity from him. He was out to prove himself in that game, and I think it'll be that way in Buffalo. Now, to your point, can that be sustained this season, just given all the missing elements that the 49ers have on offense? I mean, that receiving core is terrible, just awful. And I don't know whether it's Blaine Gabbert or Colin Kaepernick or Tom Brady, whether anyone is really going to get that offense rolling like Chip Kelly knows it can or hopes it can with those deficiencies there. So, in the long run, I fear that it's going to be the same as Blaine Gabbert replacing Kaepernick last year. He was a little bit better than Kaepernick, and I think he won one more game, three games in eight tries versus 2-8 for Kaepernick, but it didn't really make a hill of beans difference as far as the 49ers season and whether they ever contended.
Matt, I seen some talk from Jim O'Neill, defensive coordinator for the 49ers, and he was saying it was kind of a little bit extra rest. So you kind of got a week and a half because you got 10 days because last time they played was on Thursday. And he talked about defensive adjustment scheme, tackling, creating more turnovers. Obviously, Navarro Bowman not in there. Well, they kind of fared well in the first six series against Arizona last week, and they forced punts. Was there something they were doing there? Is there something that he can rely on in this time to try to improve that side of the ball a little bit?
Yeah, well, what he did is he and his staff went back and figured out, which are the plays where the 49ers have gotten gouged and which are the plays that they've done well. I mean, what formations were they in? What were they trying to do in the secondary, et cetera? And to kind of figure out what's worked and what hasn't and to chop away the category that hasn't. I think their improved play against the Cardinals had as much to do with Drew Stanton being the quarterback there than anything else. When they play teams that have both a good running back and a good quarterback, I don't know what the answer is. But against Buffalo, teams that have beaten Buffalo have done so by taking away the running game first and forcing Tyrod Taylor to stay in the pocket and to beat them with his arm. And that's certainly what the 49ers game plan has to be. And it's probably going to be what the Buffalo Bills defensive game plan is with Kaepernick.
Sure.
As well. Basically mirror opposites of one another.
Yep.
They're now very similar teams.
We're talking with Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee, the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Any game time decisions and any guys right now that you think are very questionable for playing on Sunday?
No, I think everybody goes. Jimmy Ward is really the only guy that's not practicing this week. Of course, Navarro Bowman is no longer on the roster, so he's not practicing. He had his Achilles surgery earlier this week, and the hope there is that it's a situation like Michael Crabtree's, where the guy comes back the next year and is able to acquire his career. And Crabtree, no one is remembering this year that he had that Achilles injury back in 2013. So I think that's reason for hope.
Yeah, Matt, I got a multiple choice question for you here. Are you ready for this one?
Does it have a D, none of the above?
No, it does not. There is no D, but if you want to add one, feel free. So let's say it keeps going the way that it's going. It's just tanking. Who gets the brunt of this? Jed York, Trent Baalke, or Chip Kelly?
I think that Jed York will always get the brunt of it, but no owner ever fires himself. So
right.
I think it comes down to Trent Baalke in this case. You can't go from 8-8 with one coach and then 5-11 with another coach, and then whatever this season turns out to be with a third coach, you start to figure out, well, maybe it's not the coaching, maybe it's the players and the personnel involved. And so, what we were talking about earlier, the lack of wide receivers. This has been a gaping need for this team for several seasons now. Ever since they whiffed on A.J. Jenkins back in 2012, they've had to rely on free agency and trades, and there hasn't been any homegrown talent at that critical position. And then you're hiring Chip Kelly and not augmenting the wide receiver group. That was a dynamic that nobody could quite understand in this offseason.
Yep.
And I think it's the thing that ultimately will become Trent Baalke's demise. It's the lack of quarterbacks, the lack of running backs, the lack of wide receivers, the lack of skill positions on offense. Has killed this team. You could disguise that in the past when you had a really good defense and a really strong running game. But if absent those two things, it really exposes you for what you are, which is a team without a lot of offensive talent.
All right, here's the other deal, okay? If the Niners lose this week, and if they lose and don't look good, even though I don't even think that matters, but there's no better indictment, there's no better illustration, okay, and there's no thing that's going to upset Jed York more than seeing all the empty seats in a still fairly brand-new, state-of-the-art facility. And I'm telling you right now, when Tampa comes into town next week, there are going to be a lot of empty seats, and I think it's going to get worse and worse. And I got to tell you, if you want to talk about infuriating an owner, if you want to talk about, the worst-case scenario, to me, that's it.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, just go back to these last two games. Against Dallas, it was more than half full with Cowboys fans. And then against Arizona, it was maybe two-thirds full, if you're being optimistic. And you're right. I mean, who's gonna want to come out for a 49ers versus Tampa Bay game?
Right.
Who's going to want to come out for a 49ers versus New Orleans Saints game? These are not things that are going to excite the fan base. And then that very last game of the season at home is against Seattle. I mean, that's going to be, if things are going the way they are right now at the end of the season, I shudder to think what that stadium is going to look like. There's going to be 10 people there rooting for the 49ers.
Matt, safe trip to Buffalo. We'll chat with you next week. Always good to have you on. Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you later, guys.
All right, again, there's nothing worse. All right, if you're an owner and you're seeing your stadium, brand new Levi Stadium, at best half full, that there's nothing worse than that if you're an owner. Hey, it is a 4:45 time for the 2016 year-end clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com, and we'll come back. Your phone calls next here on Sports 1140. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie, right here on Sports 1140, KHTK, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Our thanks to Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee. Let's get to Kevin next. Hello, Kevin.
How you doing, Grant and Doug?
What's up?
Good.
Hey, let me start off with Doug Christie is my favorite. I literally will watch a broadcast because of Doug.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you are fantastic in letting me see on the inside. I just love it. And Grant, you're great too. I compliment, but Doug is, I just I love him being on.
Well, you know what? That's great because he's going to be on every day from 3 to 7. So I'm very happy that you feel that way.
Fantastic. And my question was, why isn't there more conversation about Christian Palmer taking over? Because the locker room has talked about they like him. And when he played in preseason, he looked real good. And he has a history with Minnesota playing pretty well. Why isn't there at least conversation about him?
I think he'll be playing within 3 weeks. That's my opinion. I think he'll be playing before Thanksgiving.
Grant.
I do. I think Christian Ponder will be the quarterback of the 49ers before Thanksgiving.
You know what? We might as well go up to Washington and just grab Browner and just bring him on down. That's what we should do then, if that's the case. Grant, it's not happening, man. I'm telling you, you're going to be surprised.
You're talking about Jake Browning?
Browning.
He's ineligible. He's only a sophomore.
I'm just saying, if you think that guy is going to do it, I'm not feeling it.
Christian Ponder is not, Johnny Unitas, and he's not Joe Montana, but the reality is – he does have a lot of experience, and I personally don't think Colin Kaepernick's going to be able to stay on the field. And for that reason, I think Christian Ponder will be the next quarterback of the 49ers, and I think he'll be the quarterback of the 49ers before Thanksgiving because I don't think Colin Kaepernick's going to stay healthy.
Now, you might have a point there.
Mark it down. Kevin, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Because here's what I think is going to happen, Doug. I think that Colin Kaepernick is going to try to use his athleticism, as you said earlier, to keep plays alive, to elude pressure. And he's not one that shies away from hits. And I don't see him being able to play long-term with the style that he plays behind a bad offensive line without any weapons. I just think he's going to take a beating.
Yeah, but any quarterback that you bring in is going to take a beating for that matter because if the offensive line is that bad, you're going to get hit, you're going to get sacked. A guy with legs probably is the guy who has the best chance, to be honest with you, Grant, of getting the heck away and trying to make something happen. So I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm thinking he's going to go out there and do a few things. I can't wait to watch.
All right, so there you have it, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Don't forget, we are going to be with you right up until 7 o'clock. And that means we got a lot to go because we got two more hours. We understand that Joey Bosa is getting his first start of the year tonight. You know what? As bad as the Chargers are, I got to say one thing, Doug. At least he looked like a bright spot last week. And so we'll see if he can make an impact on the game tonight against Denver.
Man, high octane, serious motor. That guy is, he is absolutely getting after it. And if that's what he's doing with a little bit of a hamstring injury, yeah, I think they got a good one in Bosa.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so unfortunate that it took this long, as of last week, making his debut, to get him on the field. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with you. And you've seen since whenever you're drafting someone down there, it seems like it's been a problem. From the quarterback Manning not wanting to go there, now Bosa and his mom made those comments, and he's holding out, and you can see the kid can play. So they're going to have to make some good decisions, but they have a lot of them because McCoy now might get fired. There's a lot of stuff going on in San Diego.
All right, we got a couple of the Kings out warming up to our left, including Big George Papianis. Scal Labi Sierra is out there. Omri Caspi is out early taking some shots. So we do have some action in front of us. A couple of the Lakers down to our right, including their young player who, I got to tell you, Doug, he is so thin. I'm talking about Brant. I don't want to speak too loud. I don't want him to come over here and punch me in the head.
But it wouldn't hurt, then. He's not that.
No, he's not. He's like a walking toothpick, Brandon Ingram. Wow.
Hey, the kid, the first time I met Kevin Durant, he was playing for the Sonics. And I was there at their facility working out, and I met him. And maybe not as skinny as him, but very skinny. But, that wiry Michael Cooper strength. Now, I don't know if Ingram has that because I've seen him. He's really, really, really light. But, hopefully he can put on, not necessarily put on pounds, but get strong, be able to hold your spot.
Yeah, that's a great example to use. And, of course, you know, in Durant's first year, they had him playing out of position at shooting guard, which, you know, I don't know what on earth P.J. Carlson was thinking about playing, you know, Kevin Durant at the two. And Kevin Durant, if you remember, in his rookie year, he couldn't put the ball in the ocean from the three-point arc. He was a terrible shooter, and now look at him. So, you know, again, young players, you'll get stronger. This is a guy that they really like. They think he has a chance to be very special. But like most young players, it's not going to happen overnight. It is going to take time. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk NFL football. So don't go anywhere because we've got 2 hours left here. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. I'm in Las Vegas. Doug back in Sacramento. We've got Kings basketball for you a little bit later as they take on the Lakers right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.